This is the Barry Reisman Show at WYBF 103.9. We're going to stop the records, give the turntables a rest now, because we've got a very special guest in the studio who has been here with us many times, and we're delighted to welcome him back again, Rabbi Meir Kahana, the leader of the Koch Party and the founder of the Jewish Defense League. Rabbi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Barry.
We're delighted to have you back in Philadelphia, and what brings you to town today? And I understand you're only going to be here for one day.
That's right. That's right.
What brings you to town today?
Well, first of all, I've been on radio and TV, and this evening at 8 o'clock, speaking at the at Dural Caterers on Busselton Avenue. I think that's 7300. And I think it's important, of course, that that the Jews here in this city, as in all the cities that I'll be visiting, hear the other side. I think it's quite important. The issues that I, of course, raise are very, very painful issues, but they're issues that, of course, deal with the very survival of Israel.
Rabbi Kahana, you never speak without getting people either angry or upset or perhaps elated, whatever the case, but you do evoke these emotions. But I want to ask you, Rabbi Kahana, as we begin, why is the Jewish establishment so angry with you? I mean, why? From what I hear, you are blackballed from different Jewish groups. You are blackballed from synagogues.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is it that you're doing, a nice rabbi like you, that they don't want you to come into their synagogue?
Well, obviously, I'm touching very, very, very painful nerves and very painful issues that they would rather avoid. I'm making them think about the very difficult issues that are so difficult and so painful that they would do anything not to think about them, and most of all not to have other Jews think about them. For example, when I come in, I say that Israel has got to face up to the fact that there is a contradiction between Western democracy and Zionism. Can you imagine how that makes a Jewish leader feel, who deep in his heart knows that it's quite true, but he really doesn't want to think about it? He would much rather go through life thinking that Judaism is Thomas Jefferson, but it isn't. It really isn't.
We're going to get down to some specifics in just a little while. We're talking to Rabbi Meir Kahana, and let me give our phone number if you'd like to call and talk to him yourself. The number is 885-8885, area code 215, box 799, Asbury Park, New Jersey, 07712. And we're back with Rabbi Meir Kahana at WYBF on the Barry and Reisman Show. We'll take some phone calls in just a moment. In fact, we'll take one right now. If you'd like to call and talk to him.
Rabbi Kahana?
Yeah, okay, go ahead. I didn't know he was there waiting.
Yes.
I have a question for you. What do you think about the Russian Russian demonstrations at the Russian mission? How we did? I'm a JDL member.
Well, I mean, I think that, of course, it's of course great. It just bothers me that in Washington, right now, there are more Jews demonstrating at the embassy of a very, very different country than that of the Russians. I think that if against racism in Africa, that if you can have hundreds of Jews arrested constantly, and you don't see a single Jew arrested now, daily, outside of the Russian embassy, that is a great, great tragedy. And I think that Jews are more interested in a Bishop Tutu than in a Sharansky. And that's a great, I think that is obscene.
I got arrested at the Russian mission, by the way.
Right on, right on.
So,
that is a badge.
My name's Herschel Tannenbaum.
Okay. That is a badge of honor. It really is.
Yes.
Why do you say it's a badge of honor to get arrested?
Should we get arrested more often, or should we continue with should the JDO continue to get arrested? Because there are talks going on.
Well, clearly, I don't trust the Russians, and I think that when the Soviets leak all these rumors that they're going to free the Jews, maybe yes, maybe not. I don't believe them. I think that there should be mass protests, and not just of JDL, but of thousands upon thousands of Jews. I think that if Theodore Mann, for example, head of the AJC, who is from this city, who got arrested last year, not for Jews, but for, you know, blacks in Africa, that is an outrage. So I would like to see you not get arrested and see Theodore Mann get arrested.
Well, what I was trying to bring out, because when I got arrested, it was right after you spoke.
See what you do to people, you get them arrested.
Don't worry, I get arrested too.
Okay, thank you for calling, Herschel.
I follow you, by the way.
Thank you. How many times have you been arrested, Rabbi Kahana?
There is no count.
You've lost
long,
so many times.
Right.
You've lost count.
Lost count.
How do you feel about losing your U.S. citizenship?
I haven't.
I thought you were going to lose it because you.
Well, that's what the American government claims, but just because somebody says something doesn't mean that that is, of course, true.
Well, if the government says it and they pass a resolution about it, I don't know if they've done that.
No. I mean, governments say many, many things. Thank God that there are courts in this country, and we're fighting it. It'll take about 2 years, maybe 3 years.
Has your U.S. citizenship been officially revoked?
That's what they say, but I have the passport, and it's in the courts.
That's a piece of paper.
Not at all. If it were just a piece of paper, I wouldn't be sitting here now.
All right, if it comes to pass that the courts decide that your citizenship shall be revoked, what will be your reaction at that time?
I mean, clearly at that point, I'll have to, of course, deal with it. But the ACLU is on my side now, incredibly. And they're pretty sure that the government has no case. There have been any number of Knesset members in the past that have been dual citizens, including Moshe Aarons.
Why do you think that the United States has passed this resolution?
Because it's my politics.
Is it you?
Of course it is. The fact is that because the polls show that in the next election we'll be a very, very powerful force, the third largest party. If that happens and we're part of the government, there's no way that we will make the compromises that Reagan wants us to make. And therefore, when I come here and I raise funds, that is against the interest of Reagan. Well, too bad. I'm a citizen. I claim that. ACLU claims it. And there is no doubt in our minds that we will win.
We're talking to Rabbi Meir Kahana at WYBF-FM in Jenkintown. This is the Barry Reisman Show, and if you'd like to call and talk to the rabbi, you are welcome to do so, pro or con. He'll take any calls, and so will I. The number is 885-8885, area code 215-885-8885. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, I'd like to talk with me, the Rabbi Kahana.
You are speaking with him right now.
Okay.
But first of all, would you turn your radio down, please, ma'am? That gets confusing. We have that
hello, Rabbi.
Is your radio down?
Yes.
Well, I am 100% with you.
Well, thank
I'm
you.
Already 78 years old, and if I would be 18, I would go really beside you.
Thank you very much.
Believe you me, with everything, including what you said about South Africa. I remember when I was in 38 in Berlin, when the White Hordes was stealing and robbing out of the stores.
Yes.
The same thing did the Black Hordes here on Ridge Avenue, when I saw black people stealing and robbing the Jewish stores, which were at the time a very wonderful, nice...
Well, ma'am, if the rabbi wants to comment on that, I'm going to let him.
Wherever you go.
Ma'am, I don't believe the rabbi has gotten into that subject, and if he wants to say anything about it, I'll let him.
Well, but you have to hold to Jews, because nobody else will hold for you.
Ma'am, hold on now. Let the rabbi respond to you.
Okay.
I think that that's, of course, a very, very great truth. No one will help the Jews except the Jews.
That's right.
And I think that blacks have an absolute right, indeed, an obligation to work for black causes. But for Jews, Jewish causes come first.
Okay, ma'am? Thank you. WIBF, you're on.
I have a question for the rabbi.
Okay.
So they just come out to say.
Would you go ahead? You're on.
Oh, okay. I heard a rabbi on Channel 12 about a year ago, and he was talking so convincingly. I was absolutely convinced.
Where is that?
What?
He was speaking convincingly where?
I was convinced by what he was talking on Channel 12. And And then I read his book, Never Again, and I mean, I do understand what he's saying.
Yes, ma'am.
And I would love to hear him talk and all that.
Okay.
But from the newspapers, I keep reading that in Israel, when he's talking to the people, he's like starting saying like dirty Arabs and words like this, which do provoke people. And some intelligent people, like students and so on, would refuse to go and listen to him just because little things like this. And
because he provokes people?
Why doesn't he use a nicer, more political way of talking?
Okay, ma'am, listen to your radio for the answer, and he'll respond to that, all right? Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, well, one, madam, it's very, very dangerous if you want to know the truth to read papers. Half of what's written is not true, and the other half is false. The real truth is that you heard me speak, and you never heard me say those things. So be very, very careful about what what papers say that Kahane said. Secondly, what makes you think that students are very bright? I would much rather take 100,000 taxi drivers in Israel who know more about what's happening in Israel than all the doctoral students at Penn or at Hebrew University. These people lived with Arabs. So I'm not changing any image, because the things that I say, the Sephardic Jews, who are the bulk of the Jews in Israel and who come from Arab countries, who know what Arabs really are, when they hear me speak, they know that what I'm saying is true.
Rabbi Kahane, I have a message to the Jewish community from Rabbi Meir Kahane, and this has 14 points in it, and I don't want to go into every single point with you, but you feel free to bring them up, but I do want to ask you about a couple of them and ask you to comment on them. This is your plan. You say one of them, large amounts of Jewish funds should go for the creation of a tough and meaningful Jewish deterrent force that will deal with Jew haters properly.
Yes.
What do you mean by properly?
Well, I think that, for example, if Nazis threaten Jews physically, you don't debate Nazis. You smash Nazis. Unfortunately, we live in a world which is not an ideal world. There are bad people out there, and bad people don't understand what good people say. They understand what good people do, especially when it's in the same language as the bad people. If there had been such a group, perhaps in Germany in the 1920s, who would have done such a thing as to, and I'll be frank about it, had someone assassinated Adolf Hitler in 1925, right now he would be sitting at God's right hand. The trouble was that when the idea came up in Germany among Jews, it was the German Jewish leaders who, of course, were, they were opposed to it and horrified by it and so on. And that's what the rabbis mean when they say he was mercy on the cruel, will someday be cruel unto the merciful. That's our problem. We are so
you believe then in a certain degree of violence. That's what you're saying to me.
So does the army of Israel. I think that,
yes.
So did King David. So did Moses. Moses saw an Egyptian beating a Jew, and he didn't stand and write a petition. He killed the Egyptian. He killed the Egyptian. My goodness, can you imagine if he would be living today? My God, what would the Federation say about Moses?
I don't know. I don't even know what they say about you lots of times.
Oh, you know.
But I think they're getting to like you a little bit.
No, I think I think that what is happening is really true. The things that I've been saying for so many, many years are so obvious now and so clear that eventually time proves that it's really right. And that's why I think that after three efforts to make the Knesset, in which I, of course, lost on my fourth one, I won. And, of course, in these polls that have been appearing in the papers in Israel now show us with 10 to 11 seats in the next Knesset.
Okay, we're talking to Rabbi Meir Kahane, and he is the leader of the Koch Party in Israel, the founder of the Jewish Defense League, and I want to talk in just a moment or two with Rabbi Kahana about terrorism. That is very big in the news nowadays, and you can't open the paper without finding out that this person was shot or this person was shot. And I want to find out if Rabbi Kahana has any ideas to reduce that problem, or at least what he would do about it once it happens. We'll come back, and if you'd like to call and talk to him yourself, the number is 885-8885, area code 215-885-8885. This is the Barry Reisman Show at WIBF. Rabbi Meir Kahana here live in the studio, and your participation is invited. 5 minutes after 4 o'clock now, WIBF.
Hello?
Yes, hi, you're on.
Yes. I'd like to mention that when Rabbi Kahana says that he's against democracy, or that democracy and Zionism, you know, can't go together, he scares a lot of people. And what he ought to try to explain is what type of government he will institute once he becomes prime minister.
Well, one, let me say this. There are two separate issues here. The first issue is that of the Arab rights inside Israel. If there will be democracy inside Israel for Arabs too, then I can assure you that in 15 years you'll be given to the UAA, United Arab Appeal. Now, if you want to visit Palestine in, you know, in 15 years, fine, then just let the Arabs stay and have equal rights and so on. They have many, many babies, and Jews don't. So the first thing that I say is we have to face up to the fact that Western democracy and Zionism are incompatible in terms of letting Arabs have the same political rights that Jews have. Now that may frighten people. I don't care. I'm not here to make people frightened or not frightened. I'm here to make people think. That's why the Jewish leaders are so terrified. They don't want to think about it. But I am making them think about it. Now, in terms of second issue is, of course, what kind of government will it be for Jews who live there? Now, that's a different story already. Now, certainly, I am a religious Jew. I'm an Orthodox rabbi, and I want a Torah state inside Israel. But it will be done through democratic means. In short, it'll be the same parties as we have now, and hopefully we will convince Jews to be Jewish rather than create this Hebrew-speaking Portugal, which exists now. If we don't, then it'll be a great, great failure and a great, great loss to the Jewish people, because I believe that God will punish the Jewish people for not keeping laws. But that will have to be done by the free choice of Jews.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now, let's talk about terrorism, Rabbi Kahana. For one thing, how would you deal with it once it happens? What kind of response would you, as a member of the Knesset, if you were prime minister or if you were the one to decide on the response, what would you do?
The only way to stop the terrorists is to realize that they have no base except the base that different countries give them. Who are the terrorists? They have strength only because country X or country Y allows them to be there, trains them, funds them, gives them weapons, and so on. You have to punish and hurt and bloody the country that gives them the help, because that's the only way that you'll give this country an incentive to vomit these people out. Now, Libya.
Which country specifically are you talking about?
I can name you several. Libya,
okay.
Syria.
What would you do with Libya?
I put a car bomb in the middle of Tripoli and really, really hurt them. And let no one say, but those are innocent people. There are no innocent people in a country which helps the terrorists.
Are you saying, then, Rabbi Kahana, to do the exact same things that the terrorists do?
That's exactly what I'm saying, and it's a different thing.
Unless
you think that the British bombing of German cities and the German bombing of British cities in World War II were the same. If you think so, then you're right. I don't. I think that there is objective good, objective evil. I think that because cops and robbers both have guns, that doesn't make cops robbers. It depends what the motive is. These are evil people who would kill innocent people. We have to get them first.
And don't you think all that would do would be escalate terrorism even more?
Not at all.
Libya would say, well, they put a car bomb here, we'll put a car bomb there. They shot this group, we'll shoot that group. They went
to that school. You don't know the Libyans. Then, you know, the Libyans couldn't give a care about Palestinians. So right now, it costs them nothing. They're not being hurt at all. But if it ever comes, if push comes to shove, and they have to pay with their lives for Palestine, you bet your bottom dollar that they'll throw the Palestinians out.
And who would be the one to put this car bomb in there, would you say?
Oh, if only I would be the prime minister. Would I guarantee that that car bomb would be there? Would I guarantee that? And innocent lives, decent people, would be saved. The tragedy is that we in the West have become decadent. We have adopted a series of ethics which are so unethical, so immoral, because we're fat. And the main thing that is, the only thing that bothers us is to make sure that we're around to see the Super Bowl. That's the problem.
What do you think about Reagan and his response?
Speaks loudly and carries a small twig. The difference between Reagan and Carter is that Carter spoke softly and did nothing. Reagan speaks loudly and does nothing. He's a paper tiger.
Is there any other way besides violence that you think could be done to...
To Gaddafi? I mean...
To anybody to help stop this terrorism?
No. No. And
that's it.
Our problem is...
And is... If the answer is no, okay, your answer is no.
And no.
Then is violence the way to stop it?
The only way to stop it. But I
and
mean
that will stop it?
But I mean heavy. I mean heavy violence.
Well, what are you talking about? World War III?
I mean dirt. No, come on. One car bomb in Libya will have this madman vomit them out. When was the last Libyan soldier that went to fight Israel? There never was. He talks a great, great game, but he doesn't want to suffer for it. And that's the answer. That's the answer. No one loves the Palestinians. No one does.
What do you think about the Israel government now and its response?
Not very much. Not very much.
You want to be prime minister, don't you?
Very, very badly. Because I want to save the Jews from the Jews.
How are your chances?
Oh, well, let me say this very, very sadly, and I mean seriously and very, very sadly. They're very good. Why? Because as things get worse, Jews turn to me. Every time there is a Jew murdered inside Israel, they say Kahana. Now, I think that's a tragedy that Jews have to learn from that. But that's what's happening today.
But aren't some of the things that you're advocating, won't they just step up the violence? Won't they make it worse?
There's no question that I was the one that started the 1948 war. And 56 and 67 and 73. There's no question that if Kahana hadn't been around, Arabs and Jews would be living in peace.
You may take your tongue out of your cheek now.
All right. I will.
It's quarter past 4 o'clock at WIVF, and let's take this phone call. Hello. Oh, goodbye.
What's that one?
All right. The number is 885-8885. We're talking to Rabbi Meir Kahana, and we will take some phone calls now at 885-8885, area code 215-885-8885. Rabbi, you are going to be speaking tonight after you leave our station at the Doral Caterers, I believe. Is that right?
Right.
And what time does the show go on?
The show is on, well, it's on at 8 o'clock. And I would hope that all those people that hate Kahana and never heard him will come down and hear me speak. And if after you hear me speak, you still hate me, fine. But you might love me.
Let's take this phone call. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, you're on.
Yes, I read in the Jewish press about the black Jews that came from the United States that are going to cause quite a bit of a problem in Israel. What do you say about that?
Well, they've caused a lot of problems, and they're not Jews. These aren't the Jews of Ethiopia.
Well, they call themselves the Hebrews, the black Hebrews.
All right. There are a bunch of thugs from Chicago.
Right.
And JDL used to fight them in the streets in 1968. They're a bunch of you know, they're thugs and anti-Semites and so on. They were thrown out of Liberia in 1969.
Right.
Yeah, and the fact is that all these years they've been in Israel without permits. Let me just say this to you. On the day that I become prime minister, they're out.
Because they claim that they keep increasing in numbers.
That's right.
And they are hoping for a time when they have another war that they will take over the country.
But
if you read the article in the Jewish press.
Well, I don't have to read it because I of course know them. They're in Dimona and in Arad,
right,
and so on. The fact of the matter is that I don't blame them. I blame those wimps that make up the governments in Israel. Throw them out. My God. Here are anti-Semites. Here are people that are against Zionism. And we sit there quietly. Why? Because they're black.
They're pro-Palestinian.
They're not pro anything except themselves. But if these people would have been blonde Swedes, they would be in Stockholm now.
Okay, sir?
Right.
Thank you. Rabbi, you want to get all the Arabs out of Israel, is that right?
Yesterday.
And how do you propose to do that?
Well, what can I say?
It's easy to say it.
Oh, no, I mean, that's no problem. That's no problem. We will offer the Arabs a choice. Those Arabs who will leave willingly and quietly will leave with compensation for their property, which is more than they did for the 800,000 Sephardic Jews who fled Arab countries beginning in 1948. Those that won't, we're going to truck out without a penny. This isn't some kind of a game. This is a survival. If they stay, we're undone. It'll be in Northern Ireland in 5 years, 10 years. And in 20 years, they're the majority, and they'll do to us tomorrow what they do to themselves today in Lebanon. So they're going, and believe me that, just picture, in 5 years, the Arab gets up, puts on his radio, hears the morning news, and he hears that Kahane is the prime minister. You think that there's any great problem getting them out? Believe me, no problem. No problem.
Is it morally right to do that?
It's morally right. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to save Jews. If the rabbis say, if one comes to slay you, slay him first, I'm basically moderate. I say, if one comes to slay you, throw him out first. Isn't that better?
What a nice guy. We're going to come back. We're talking to Rabbi Meir Kahane. And how do you feel about the audience? How do you feel about having all the Arabs evacuated or sent from Israel? What do you feel about Rabbi Kahane's feelings about dealing with terrorism? Do you feel that a car bomb should be put in the middle of Libya? He would do it if he were prime minister. He would have it there. Would you like to see him prime minister? We'll find out. 885-8885 is the number if you'd like to call and tell us and tell him. Right now, it's 20 minutes with Rabbi Meir Kahane here in the studio at WYBF. I think it was about a year ago that you were here. That was your last trip
to
Philadelphia. Rabbi Kahane is going to be speaking at the Doral Caterers tonight at Busselton and Cotman. That will be at 8 o'clock. We have some time for some phone calls at 885-8885, area code 215-885-8885. As we had the news on, Rabbi, you told me something which surprised me, that you are barred from TV and radio stations in Israel. Here you are on the air in Philadelphia, and in Israel, You're banned from TV and radio. Why?
Yeah. Well, that should say something, I think, to every single Jew who, you know, thinks that I'm bad because I'm against democracy. The fact is that Israel is not a democratic country. I mean, not in the way that people think it is. There is state TV and state radio, and they simply say that Kahane will not appear, and that's it. we need permits for rallies. Sometimes the police will just say no. Of course, you know, have to go to court and so on. It's not quite the country that people think. But we'll make it better.
Okay, it's 428 WIBF FM in Jenkintown. You are on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hello, Rabbi.
Yes.
I'd like to ask you two questions.
That's a Jewish question.
Jewish question.
Okay.
What do you think of the Jews for Jesus?
Not much.
Not much. And what do you think of the black Jews, not the Ethiopian airlifted Jews, but the black Jews that have settled in Israel?
I just went through that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I missed that.
Yeah, well then, briefly, first of all, these are not Jews. They're not Jews, and they don't claim to be Jews. They claim to be Hebrews. Now, they're not Jews, they're not Hebrews, they're not anything. They are goyim, okay? Let me just put it straight out to you. These are blacks from here, Chicago, hoods, gangsters, anti-Semites. They should be thrown out of the country. They have been there for years without permits. Again, the only reason why Israel has not moved them out as they do anyone else who was there without proper papers is because they are black, and Israel is afraid that this might cause problems.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Lost that one too.
Yes, Rabbi Kahana, as the leader of the Koch Party, your constituency is in Israel.
That's right.
And that's where you have your rallies. But I still see you're coming here now. Why are you here when the votes are there?
Well, I think for two reasons. One, it's very, very important that Jews throughout the world understand what I am talking about, because that which happens in Israel will affect every single Jew here. And secondly, we expect an election to be held within 4, 5, 6 months, tops. Shimon Peres will never keep his word, hand over his seat to Shamir, and for that we need money, and I'm here to raise money. But above all, it's to get Jews to hear the thing. I'm tired of Jews hearing about Americana. There's not one rabbi in this entire city that will let me speak. There's not one synagogue here.
In other words, you've had your people contact them.
That's right. I mean, that's incredible.
And what has been the response?
No.
I mean, why? I know they say no, but I mean, what reason do they
give? Well, they're, you know, obviously, they'll of course quote, you know, he's a racist, and you know, and so on and so forth. I'm speaking tonight at a place, at a catering place, where right across the street is a temple, which won't let me speak. Let me just say something. Think for a moment. If an Arab would contact one of the temples and say, look, I'm an Arab, but I want a dialogue with Jews. They'd fall all over themselves. If Farrakhan would announce, listen,
I don't think so.
I'll bet you anything that if he would come and say, look, we've had problems, let's sit and talk together with coffee and cake, I'll bet you they would. Of course they would. Of course they would. I mean,
well, perhaps it's that the synagogue feels that you are a Jew, and perhaps they consider you an embarrassment.
On the contrary, I am a danger to them because I expose them. I think that the Jewish leaders of this city and all cities are pygmies, are dwarfs, ignoramuses.
And you want them to invite you into your synagogue when you're calling them ignoramuses?
Yes, yes, yes. Because if they think that that's not true, let them show. You know, let's have a debate. Let the people listen. The market of free ideas, but they're afraid. Picture this. Picture me standing in front of 5,000 Jews, turning to a certain Jewish leader in the city and saying, tell me, do the Arabs have a right peacefully to be a majority in Israel and vote Israel out of existence? Do they have a right to democratically be the majority? Yes or no? What can he possibly say? What can he say? Of that, he is terrified.
Okay, we're talking to Rabbi Meir Kahane. The number is 885-8885. We'll come back. We'll take your 25 minutes before 5 o'clock now, and this is the Barry Reisman Show. Rabbi Meir Kahane is here. Every line is tied up right now, but if you want to get through, when you hear somebody hang up, that's your chance to call us at 885-888. He's going to be speaking at the Doral Caterers tonight, which is at Busselton and Cotman, and that starts at 8 o'clock. And you don't need a ticket. You get them at the door. Rabbi, you mentioned raising money for the Koch party now. Is there any address that you have, or what if one of our listeners or a lot of them would like to send
a donation
to you? This is your chance to do a commercial.
Fine. That's P.O. Box 425, Midwood Station, Brooklyn, New York, 112-30. That's P.O. Box 425, Midwood Station, Brooklyn, New York, 112-30. And that money will go, if you make out a check to Kach, K-A-C-H, you're going to help me become the Prime Minister eventually.
Okay. Audience, would you like to see that? Would you like to see Rabbi Kahane become Prime Minister of Israel?
Listen to that shout out there.
I think I hear something. I don't know if they're shouting yes or no, though. I don't know. We haven't found that out. Let's take some phone calls. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, can I speak to Rabbi Kahane?
You are speaking with him.
Is this Rabbi Kahane?
Yes, how are you?
How are you? I think we met.
Okay.
But if we didn't meet, am I allowed to mention names?
You can mention anything you want. This is a free country.
I feel that I know you so well through the late Eddie Ramos,
protector. Yes, indeed. Truly great
you.
Jew.
He used to
you.
Be a teacher of mine in high school.
A great Jew. Really a great Jew. Yes.
Now, I love you. Now, I campaigned for you at the Chapel of Four Chaplains about a month ago. And there was an Orthodox rabbi there that was against you and against the Jewish Defense League.
Well, he's a loser.
But wait a minute, but he said he was going to go to a meeting at the Jewish Defense League that night at Young Israel. And I said, well, what are you going to go to the meeting for if you don't like them? They're too radical. And I really had respect for rabbis, but I had an argument with them. And I said, well, I don't care what you say. I love Rabbi Kahane. He's the best thing that ever happened to Israel. And he will be the best prime minister, and all our troubles in the Middle East will be over if you get in.
Please, God. Please, God.
Paradise.
Well,
thank you, man.
Thank you very much.
I love you. And anybody by the name of Meyer, my father, let him rest in peace. His name is Meyer, too.
Well, that's it. Well, that proves it.
You see that?
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello. I'd like to talk to Rabbi Kahane.
Speaking.
Okay. Well, I don't share your views, and I think that...
You win some and you lose some.
Excuse me?
Go ahead. Never mind.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, I think that it's a very, very poor thing that you said over the air that you have to throw out the half of the country. You know who
half
I mean?
Half of the country? I mean, thank God it isn't half yet. But give us another 15 years and it'll be.
Never mind. We are not viewing radical views here. Everybody's a human being.
That's true. So was Hitler.
And No. A beast, and that doesn't mean that you have to share a lot of his views. Because when there is no two wrongs, or two rights.
Yeah, madam, listen to me. It's so great to live in, Philly. Try living in Petah Tikva, where a soldier was just murdered last month, 3 kilometers from his home by Arabs, who were, of course, human beings. I know you do. And thank God, madam, it wasn't your son.
And call Yisrael, but I don't like the way you express yourself, Rabbi.
Well, that's all right. I don't exactly love your views either, but that's what makes ball games.
Because
when you're the prime minister, God help us.
If you would do these things and throw out half of the country.
Not half of the country. I mean, hopefully I'll be prime minister in about 5 years when there'll only be 25%.
That's what happened, sir.
Well, you know what? In 5 years, call me.
Well, I hope I'll be here.
I'm sure you will.
I would like to ask you something.
You stay here and you keep your eye on him. You have to stay around, ma'am.
Please.
You got to watch him.
Please be careful. careful the way you talk about in behalf of our Jewish brethren.
Yes, and also sisters.
Because
yes.
We are going to suffer when you talk against the whole world.
Thank God that I wasn't around the 1940s, so therefore we didn't suffer.
Well, thank God that you weren't where I was.
Yes, and of course you didn't suffer, right?
I did suffer.
Oh boy, logic! Oh, the sheer knife of logic—it's incredible. Well, madam, listen to me. I mean, we of course differ, and I think it's, you know, after all, it's your choice.
Well,
and of course, you don't live there, and you don't vote there. So therefore, I think people that don't live in Israel should think very, very carefully about what they say.
You were lucky you were born here.
I was born in Brooklyn. I was born in Brooklyn, and I made a conscious choice to go home, which maybe you should too.
You know, Israel is our homeland.
But you're living in Philly.
Yes, I do live in Philly. This is my dear adopted country. But I say that everybody has a right, and you cannot always criticize the whole world.
You're right. I know. I don't criticize the whole world, hardly. Because, frankly, it doesn't bother me what's happening in Ireland. I mean, it really doesn't. Bothers me is Jews.
Rabbi, when you speak, Rabbi Kahane, please don't show hatred and don't be like a Semite, please.
You're right.
Thank you, ma'am.
Because you're right. I'm going to suffer by the love of it.
You're right. I'm going to try and speak like, you know, you're Begin.
Okay, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you. WIBF. Oh, would you hold on? I pushed the wrong button.
Sure.
Yes. Hold on, please. What's the wrong? Hello. Thank you for waiting. Yes.
Yeah.
You're on the air with Rabbi Kahane.
Barry?
Yes.
Am I on the air?
You are on the air. You better be.
All right. Tell Kahane.
Yes.
I love him. I respect him. He's 100% right. And unfortunately, Jews don't have the guts that he does. And I will be there tonight at 8 o'clock at the Doral.
Well, thank you very much.
I respect him.
Thank you very much, really.
You're on the air with Rabbi Kahane.
Rabbi Kahane?
Yes.
So Kahane or Kahane?
Kahane.
And I'm going to do all of my power to try to get you elected.
Well, thank you very much.
How are you going to do that, sir?
I can't hear you.
How are you going to do that?
Well, I have certain contacts.
Really?
And I'll see what I can do for you.
Well, thank you very much.
Sounds like you're calling from a clandestine location with this kind of connection we have here. Probably in his closet. I don't know.
Oh, come on.
He's a nice guy. He sounds like a nice guy. I'm just joking around with him.
He does.
Who's talking to
that? You've got content. Well, then, sir, perhaps you'll see Rabbi Kahane at the Doral tonight, and you can tell him what you'll do for him.
Well, I have contacts, political contacts, and I'll see what I can do.
Okay.
Thank you very much, sir. Really.
Thank you, sir. WIBF Radio.
Hi, good afternoon, Barry, and good afternoon, Rabbi Kahane. Welcome to Philadelphia.
Thank you very much.
Back in June, a busload of school children from Petah Tikva was very tragically killed by a train, and I'd like your reaction to the statement by the rabbi who said that this happened because the mayor of Petah Tikva had allowed the movie houses to open on Shabbat.
Which rabbi said that?
Rabbi
Peretz.
Rabbi, you would know better than I.
Yeah, Rabbi Peretz. Well, let me say this to you. No one knows why, what specific thing is the cause of Jewish tragedy. But no one thing. We Jews have always believed that there is a reward and there is punishment. And Jews are punished for sin. I certainly don't say it was this particular sin or that sin. But in general, things don't just happen. There is a God, and he's not a Santa Claus. So anytime some tragedy happens, what the Jew should do is sit down and search his soul and say, now, what have we done that might have brought on this thing? So, of course, I'm not going to say it was this thing or that thing, but we should sit down and realize that Jews have always believed that as the Talmud says, that a person doesn't bruise his finger on this earth unless it was ordained from above. There is the mitzvah that we have been ordered to observe. And if we don't, there is punishment. So I'm certainly am not going to say that this was the reason and so on, that the reason nobody knows. But that there is a reason, that's for sure.
Okay, thank you, and I look forward to seeing you tonight at the Doral.
Thank you.
You're on the air, go ahead please, with Rabbi Kahana.
I'm on the air right now.
You're on the air, yes you are.
Okay. I have a number of things to tell you. Mayor Khan, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I was on the phone with you when you were here last year.
Right.
And
I recall you.
Remember me.
I certainly do, Miss. I do, and I recall what you said and what I said.
Okay. I was very, very angry with you because you were putting down B'nai B'rith Youth Organization and you were putting down the
American
do. Jewish group.
Oh, yes. And aren't and didn't you ask this caller to arrange for a visit for you to
right.
her? This is a year ago.
Right, and I'm still waiting.
Organization. You never invited him.
Right.
Why not?
First of all, he's not allowed by B'nai B'rith.
I didn't
pursue it.
Is that fair? Is that fair, you think?
Yes, because...
You think it's fair? Well, then, if that's democracy, wait till I become the prime minister and don't let you speak.
Now, listen to me, please. The reason I didn't pursue it is because, I've got to say, you are an incredible speaker. And that's what scares me, because you can twist things, and you can twist what I tried to say last year, and you can twist things so that you appear to be right. And now what you say is, there are problems in Israel. There are problems with the Arabs, and I know I went there this summer, mm-hmm. and I saw the problems.
Mm-hmm.
But you twist the truth, and you speak such evil. Who is to determine who is good and who is bad? And you feel like you have the right to determine that, and that when you are prime minister, you are going to wipe out all the bad in Israel, and you are going to make the good be there.
Listen, you think that Israel had a right to hang Eichmann? I'm just curious. I mean, just answer yes, no, that's all.
Can you repeat that? I'm sorry.
Do you think that Israel had the right to hang Adolf Eichmann?
Yes.
Who is Israel to say what is right and what is wrong?
There are... See, this, once again, you're...
No, I mean, just tell me. I mean, don't... Just answer the question.
There are some people who are obviously evil.
Well, that's what you say.
That's what I say.
That's fine, and I appreciate that.
So
well, then,
twisting things. You're taking. We're studying this in English, okay? It's deductive fallacies.
Why is it deductive fallacies, and why not a deductive reasoning? why do you label it fallacy when I ask you a question and you can't answer it? So you say this is twisting. Maybe it's not twisting. Maybe it's really good. Maybe I have a very keen mind.
I'll tell you what, can you hold on? I'll let you two continue this little discussion in just a couple of moments.
Because some have three. Now, surely there must be a great leader in this community who can debate me.
I'd like to find that person.
Well, find him.
What is one of the things that bothers you about what Rabbi says, ma'am?
Okay.
Let's take one thing and let him respond to it.
Well, the violence. There's pure hatred in everything you stand for. And I think that there must be answers besides for violence. I think that you don't... your stereotypes. You have automatically assumed that all Arabs are bad.
On the contrary, they're all... Finish.
That you want to have the Arabs leave voluntarily, and that those who do not leave voluntarily will be truckloaded out.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I'd just like to share with you some experiences I had in Israel. When I was there, I met some Arabs, and the Arabs aren't all bad. And there are Arabs that live in Israel who live in peace and who are contributing citizens who make Israel what it is, just like some people in America, because of the mixture that America has contribute to America. I was in Netanya one day, and I was on the beach with a friend of mine, and I was speaking to some Israelis, and they're about 21. And they, all of a sudden, out of the blue, they said, "What do you think of Meir Kahana?" And I just laughed because, you know, I remembered my conversation with you, and I told them about that. And they said, that they supported you, and that they believe that the Arabs should leave, and that they support everything you say. And that frightens me, that you're attracting the young Israelis, you know, who want Israel to be theirs, and that people, that these Israelis aren't taking the time to think and say...
Well, wait a second! What arrogance on your part. They're not taking the time to think. They who live there, serve in the army there, only you are taking the time out to think. I want to tell you something.
I want to live there.
But live there with a little bit, be a little humble. Everybody who doesn't think as you think doesn't take the time out to think. Only you do.
That's not true.
That's exactly what it is. I suggest you strongly, not for my sake, but believe me, I'll live with you without you. You come tonight and hear...
I cannot come tonight.
Well, that's a bad, bad thing. When you're in Israel, you come to Israel and you phone me. Here's my home number in Israel for everybody to hear.
That's exactly what you did last time.
Well... But you didn't do it because you don't have the courage.
That's not true.
But it is true, and the reason why you keep calling me again is because you're bothered. You're troubled.
Right.
Because I'm
bothered that people agree with you.
No.
I'm bothered that they don't see that there's a peaceful way.
Well, you tell me the peaceful way.
I don't know it.
That's no answer, because...
That's your answer, the correct answer, because you have the answer right now?
Of course it is. Certainly it is. And when Shimon Peres was on Nightline and Ted Koppel said to him, Kahana was on two nights ago and posed a problem, gave an answer, what is your answer? And he said, at this time we have no answer. Well, if the Prime Minister of Israel says that, we're in pretty bad shape.
And do you know why you have so many supporters?
Yes,
because
I do.
Because they're the people that want answers. And when they look for the people that have answers...
I would imagine that most people who vote for somebody want answers. I mean, is that bad? And they have listened to everybody else. And therefore, they have certainly heard Shimon Peres and Shamir and the left and Kahana. And they said Khan is right. Now, not everybody thinks so, which is, of course, sad. But the fact is, before you come up with this arrogant statement that it frightens you because they haven't thought things through, maybe they have and you haven't.
No.
Why are you laughing, ma'am?
Excuse me?
Why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because I admire his speaking abilities. I admire how he makes me the bad one,
but
when I am in fact not the bad one.
Well,
and
but
I'm not determined. I'm not saying that you're bad, because I realize that everyone has their point of view, and I don't agree with your view. And I hope that not many people do agree with your view, and that the people that are calling and all these people that are calling and supporting you are just the minority, because the violence is just overwhelming.
Let me ask you something. The violence is overwhelming?
A car bomb in Libya. You want to just wipe out...
Tell me something. If someone put a car bomb in Berlin in 1943 and killed 103 Germans who were just passing by, in order to bring that war one day closer to its end and save Jews, would that bother you? It probably would. It probably would, because you have a really tragic sense of ethics, which you think is ethics, and which really isn't. Thank God, you weren't around to run the world in 1943, because then you would have guaranteed that Hitler won. We're fighting evil people.
And you weren't there either, and Hitler didn't win.
That's right, because the Allies did in World War II what I'm saying now. They bombed German cities and didn't care about German women and German children.
We're not in a war right now.
What?
We're not in a war.
Boy, am I glad that you're not in Israel.
Ma'am, thank you for calling. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Let's hear this word now. Do we have a commercial for Greenman's Deli anywhere around there in the control room? A little surprise to our engineer there. Well, we give you a little chance to rest, Rabbi, okay?
Sure.
Give you a little workout there. 3 minutes after 5 o'clock. Our guest is Rabbi Meir Kahana, the leader of the Koch Party and the founder of the Jewish Defense League. He'll be speaking at the Doral tonight. I think you're going to have a lot of people out there to see you, Rabbi. I mean, the response has just been overwhelming, and I think they'll be out there tonight at 8 o'clock at the Doral at Busselton and Cotman, and you don't need any advance reservations. Just get your tickets at the door. It's Rabbi Meir Kahana, and can we hear the phones? We've got a full bank of telephone calls that we're trying to get on the air, so let's try to keep them as brief as possible. You're on the air with Rabbi Kahana.
Hi, Rabbi Kahana.
Yes.
I'm currently reading your book, Why Be Jewish, and
yes.
I think that it's a masterpiece.
Okay.
I have two questions for you. I was in Israel this summer, and I was amazed by the number of Jews returning to Judaism. What do you see as the future of the Bolshevik movement in Israel? And also, how can we get whatever it is that's causing the Bolshevik movement in Israel to the United States?
Well, one, I think that there is no question. There is no question that there is a tremendous movement of Jews back to Judaism, because the fact is that secular Zionism proved to be just empty, you know, shallow for the average Jew there, and the average Saber really has no kind of an identity. So that's of course true. But on the other hand, bear in mind there's a second side, and that is numerous Jews, particularly Sephardic Jews, from families that until now have been at least, you know, semi, are now leaving. So there is another darker side to this coin. In any event, what can be done here is, of course, just go out there. In other words, the campuses are wastelands. It is imperative that Jews reach other Jews. An outreach program on campus, reach them. There are starving Jews out there. These are young Jews that know that what they have been given by their parents, by their temples, is bankruptcy. And they're waiting for something. So when I hear Jews yelling about Jews for, you know, Jesus and so on, don't complain about that. Let's give them Jews for Moses.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And thank you for waiting. You're on the air with Rabbi Kahana.
Okay. Rabbi?
Yes.
I'm a listener to the Barry Reisman Show. I don't want to waste your time. You took enough this afternoon. I listened until now. All I want to wish you lots of luck. And I want you to know I'm a very strong supporter of you.
Thank you very much, sir.
I support you in every respect.
Thank you.
And I wish you, I hope someday I'll read you'll have a million of Knesset members.
Thank you very much.
At least 9 more.
All right. Thank you.
It goes without saying, I'd like to see you in 5 years, even before that, being Prime Minister.
Well, with God's help.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're on the air with Rabbi Kahana.
Right.
Go ahead.
Rabbi.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question. You made a remark that none of the synagogues in Philadelphia would allow you to speak.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
Let me ask you a question. Did you make an offer to come to, for instance, a late Friday night service and speak at an Onik Shabbat without compensation, or did you want to get paid?
Sir, listen to me. Listen to me.
You did not answer my question.
I haven't even started.
Yeah, go ahead.
I haven't even started. First of all, I don't speak on a Friday night because there is the problem with the, you know, microphone. So that's a problem. What I'm asking is to speak in a synagogue anywhere. Now, if any synagogue in this town is ready to have me speak, I'll speak free, okay?
That's what I wanted to find out.
Right ahead. I'll speak free.
Does your synagogue want Rabbi Kahana?
I do not know, but I'm going to find out.
Okay. It'll be free. Okay?
Best offer you had all day.
You happen to mention a synagogue that was near where you're going to speak.
It's right across the street.
I happen to be a member.
Okay. Across the street from it, I think.
That's right, and I'm going to find out.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
Okay. You're welcome.
I would like to hear if we have we don't have that much time left, but Rabbi Kahana has made an accusation that every synagogue in in Philadelphia has banned him. I wonder if I can get you a synagogue in the next 15 minutes. Maybe I can do something for you here, Rabbi. If anybody is a representative of a synagogue that would like to have Rabbi speak, perhaps they can call us and tell us. Or if you are a synagogue and you don't want Rabbi Kahana to speak, would you tell us why? I'd like to know. You're on the air.
Yeah, Barry. I read Rabbi Kahane's book, Why Be Jewish. It was fabulous. And unfortunately, Barry...
Man, you have to turn your radio down. We're getting that 7-second feedback.
Unfortunately, in a city with so many Jews as Philadelphia, there are only two Jewish high schools, day schools in this city. Mm-hmm. In response to that young lady that he spoke with, that he spoke to previously, maybe if she had a Jewish education, I don't mean Hebrew school, for 2 hours, 3 times a week, and she knew our Torah, she'd understand them and think differently.
You're absolutely right. And this is the great tragedy. You have budgets, a federation budget, which in every city, it's the same thing.
But New York, it's not that way.
Well, in New York, you have 2.5 million Jews, a different ballgame.
And there's one group of Jews that
But the federation there also, pardon me, does not give what it should. The most important cause for Jews is not a Jewish hospital. The most important cause for Jews is not a JCC, half of whose members are not Jewish. The most important cause is Jewish education, the yeshiva, that will save the young Jews.
Well, my children have gone through the Jewish day schools, Orthodox, and the outcome is, I just can't talk highly enough about it, but there is one group, Rabbi, that does outreach on the campus and is fighting this Jews for Jesus, and that's Lubavitch. They're the only ones in this city who do anything.
You're right, and I want to tell, well, I don't know if it's the only group, but it is certainly a great group, and I'm happy to tell you that in Israel, they are giving us solid support for the, you know, Knesset race.
Okay, thank you for calling back at WIBF Radio with Rabbi Meir Kahana, the leader of the Koch Party in Israel and the founder of the Jewish Defense League. Are you involved at all with the Jewish Defense League, Rabbi, any longer?
Well, now, no. I have, of course, this problem with the government, with my citizenship.
Yes.
And it's not quite politic for me to be involved with JDL because of the violence, but of course.
You mean that that you are doing, that you are not involved because of politics?
I said it is not politics. It is not wise at this point to give them an opportunity to appear before some judge and say, look, this fellow runs a group that is violent. Now, I haven't changed. I mean, I wish that JDL will keep on doing bigger and better things. But right now, the center is Israel for me and the Koch movement.
Mm. Well, I guess that should keep you pretty busy anyway.
Oh, you bet. You bet.
We'll come back. We have a traffic report in another minute. This is the Barry Reisman Show at WIBF Radio. And again, reminded that Rabbi Meir Kahana is going to be speaking at the Doral. Rabbi, when you get there, what are you going to be speaking about? Basically what we're talking about today?
No, that and a lot more. I think areas that most people don't hear me speak about. What is our plan for other areas of Israel? In the economic sphere, for example. In the social sphere. Jewish, you know, youth and identity, both here and there. A lot of Jewish problems, anti-Semitism here in America. What is the future for Jews here? An awful lot of questions.
Okay, it's tonight at 8 o'clock at the Doral Caterers at Busselton and Cotman. We'll come back, take some more phone calls at 885-8885 at WIBF 103.9 FM. Back with Rabbi Meir Kahana. We're going to try to make these calls as fast as possible because we have just so little time and so many calls. So let's take this one right now at WIBF Radio.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I would like to talk to Rabbi Kahana.
Here I am.
Hello.
Yes.
I'm immigrant. I just came to this country just a couple years here.
Where from? Soviet Union?
I'm from Russia, yes.
Yes.
But I would like, you know what, I even didn't dream to talk to you.
Yes.
Because I'm so proud of you, and I love you, and I think you are very, very good, and I wish you to be a prime minister.
Thank you very much.
Okay?
Thank you.
You're on the air with Rabbi Kahana.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, Barry Reisman.
This is Barry.
Yeah, I'd like to ask a question.
Me or the rabbi?
The rabbi.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Hello, Mayor Kahana?
Yeah, here I am.
Yes, what is your opinion of Mr. Farrakhan, Minister Farrakhan?
Minister Farrakhan?
Yes.
Well, a rose by any other name stinks. Minister. I mean, he's a vicious anti-Semite. I mean, what can I possibly think of him?
I agree with you.
Okay, well,
okay.
That didn't take too much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're on the air with Rabbi Kahana.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. Hello.
We already went through that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was answering. Okay. There was a program, Moscow and Soviet Jewry last night. I don't know if anybody saw it on Channel 12.
No, I certainly didn't, but what's
it
about?
I took offense to that panel that they had, and plus the fact when that general was supposed to be Jewish turned around and says that Jews collaborated with Eichmann to further Zionism. I thought that was such a tremendous, not only was it a lie, an out-and-out lie, not that the Soviet Union has to atone for any of this stuff or even make excuses, because in fact they do.
What is your question, sir?
That they should
have been to much
bottle.
That what is your question, sir?
I know, and I realize that you people have nothing to do with that, but I mean, the point... Well, it's like someone saying that the Holocaust never happened, and the fact that the ovens were made out of to make bread, which is also insane.
Yeah, but listen to me. But that is exactly what the Russians say.
I realize that.
Well, which, of course, you're right. I mean, and that's what we're, of course, dealing with. These are our enemies.
I'm sorry, I did not know you were speaking outside of 5 minutes ago when I happened to turn the station on.
All right, now you can go see him at the Doral. Thank
can't.
You. You're on the air, sir.
Okay.
Sir. Yes.
Am I on the air now?
Yes.
Okay,
please make it brief.
Question for Mayor Kahana.
Here I am.
My question is this. If you were the Prime Minister of Israel and you were approached by the head of the Soviet Union, Mr. Gorbachev, and he made you an offer to release 1 million Soviet Jews in return for dismantling the settlements on the West Bank or in Judea, Samaria, how would you respond?
I would say, when you take down all your missiles, we'll do the same with our settlements. Come on, what are you talking about? I mean, what is some kind of a, deal?
Well, no, yes.
All right, okay, okay. The answer is no.
Okay.
The answer is no.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead with Rabbi Kahana.
Yes. Is Rabbi Kahan?
Yes, here I am, sir. Here I am. Yeah. Go right ahead.
Rabbi Kahan?
Yes.
Let's say that if I'm wrong, I would like you to correct me.
I certainly will.
You have to find out fast, because you only have a few more minutes on the air, so you better hurry up, sir.
Right. From my viewpoint, I see your ideas as being racist.
Mm-hmm. You're wrong.
Explain to me how I'm wrong.
What is a racist?
All right. My definition of a racist is unjust hatred whereby a group is condemned because of individual acts. Mm-hmm. For instance, where one Jew may do something bad,
right,
the anti-Semite, the racist, the bigot will come out and put the entire Jewish race to blame for this. This is racism.
Okay, fine, good. Okay,
we've got about 30 more seconds.
Now listen to me. I don't say that Arabs are bad. Quite the opposite. All Arabs in Israel are good Arabs, and a good Arab is one who sincerely believes that the Jews are thieves.
Jews are thieves?
That's what he believes.
Sir, if you want to find the rest of the story, you'll have to go to the Doral tonight and hear Rabbi Kahana in person.
I refuse to go there because I recommend that we boycott the Doral and you, sir.
Well, you're a really, really, I mean, you're a brave person. I must tell you, just a proud product of freedom and democracy and the marketplace of ideas. Well, what would you say if when I become the Prime Minister, I wouldn't let you speak.
I'll tell you what I would do if you became
Prime Minister. Before he becomes Prime Minister, I'm going to stop you from speaking right now. Thank you for calling, because we're out of time.